Today's reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses from 19 to 31, which is adapted from the Common English Bible. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Christ, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As God sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." Thomas, the one called Didymus, one of the 12, wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We haven't seen the Christ." But he replied, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my fingers in the wounds left by the nails, and put my hand into his side, I won't believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again in a house and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus entered and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into my side. No more disbelief. Believe." Thomas responded to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus replied, "Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe." Then Jesus did many other miraculous signs in his disciples' presence, signs that aren't recorded in this scroll. But these things are written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's child, and that believing, you will have life in the name of Christ.
The word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So we're now at this for a while, and so we're kind of landing into some normal time. As always, though, I invite you to go ahead and talk during the sermon. You know, whether when we are in person, I know you're talking in your head and we go off and think about different things, but I encourage you to go ahead and be in the chat room. And our kind of core questions for today are, what were you worried about as we started this whole journey of this COVID-19 thing in your own life, for the church, for your community, wherever that may be? And then what causes you to worry today? And I'm going to explore a little few of these things for us today. The first is this. This is the passage. This is my annual. I get to tell folks why we do this passing of the peace at the beginning of our worship services always. So some churches, they don't do the confession piece. And I've heard a lot of different reasons why. It's kind of a downer. Don't tell me what to confess. You know, I can do that on my own. There's lots of reasons and I understand them all. But in our tradition, what we believe is that if any of us hold something that holds us back from God, if any individual in that room does that, then we all do. And it's this kind of real challenge for us to see ourselves as a full community, that we can't just kind of buy into this individual sense of who we are as people of faith. So I may feel like I'm forgiven. Who cares about y'all? Actually, no, that's not what we believe. We believe that I may feel forgiven, but if I'm still holding on to things that you're doing wrong or making you hold on to something that you feel is not of God and you haven't been able to be forgiven of that, then we all kind of have to hold on to that. And so it it forces us to see ourselves as greater than just we as an individual. And it also is the way the placement of it during our worship services is key, right? Some churches do passing the peace before at the very beginning, others do it at the very end. But I think, and many of us would say, that it needs to go kind of right after you gather in your space. You kind of remove all that holds us back from experiencing God, and then you hear scripture. So there's this idea that what we're doing is all the things that kind of cloud us from really kind of being in the space and listening for the Spirit, we let that go individually, and we encourage others to let that go. That no matter where we have been, what we have done, all of the things, you bring it into the space, and we all let that go together. So it's more than just a chance to say good morning and how are you doing, but it really is the sense of the body is together in the midst of this. And now we're getting ready to hear what does God have to say to us through scripture and reflection, and now in the chat room. Like, what is God saying in the midst of us? So there's your annual Why We Do Passing of the Peace passage. All right. So, but here's the thing. It is difficult to have collective peace because I don't think, you know, all of us are really very good at either forgiving ourselves or allowing other people to be forgiven. So it really is, if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, if you don't, then we all hold on to them. If others in the room can't feel forgiven, then we all hold on to them. And I think it's much more fun if we don't forgive people, because drama and all that stuff kind of can draw people together. You know, this idea that this person wronged me or this person wronged me and I can't forgive them and da da da. The challenge is that we can't do that. And we have to be able to be in the space where no matter what we've done and gone through, that there's a time and a place where we have to just kind of forgive one another. Now, I'm not saying we forgive each other and we stay in relationships that are abusive or manipulative or anything like that, but it is the sense that what we hold on to, we got to make sure that we are not holding on to those things only so we can set ourselves apart. When we come into a worship space or we come into a space that we are claiming as God's kind of community, we have to be able to step into a place where we can see someone and see how God, even if we're not able to forgive them, how God is able to. That God is able is bigger than most of ourselves, like my ego, my ability to hold a grudge are like Olympic caliber. And I get that from my family and all that. But I know that God is not that way. And I have to work on that all the time. Like, I still have grudges from like eighth grade that every once in a while I'm like, why do I still hold on to that? But there's this sense that it's really hard. But yet God, what we believe and what we claim is that even when we've locked ourselves away from the possibility of forgiveness with each other or with others, God somehow appears. When Christ, it's no mistake that the disciples were gathered together, scared, didn't know what was going on, and holding on to a lot of things. When Jesus appears through a locked door, like, there's this sense that even when we try to keep forgiveness out, God will bring it in. And so what the challenge is for us to see that, not just for ourselves, not just an individual understanding of forgiveness, but that we do this with everyone. And that if we take seriously this idea that when we forgive everyone's sins, then we can forgive everyone's. But if we hold on to anyone, if anyone in our space holds on to it, then we all hold on to it. The second is this, though, is that there is a joy of collective discovery. This is a picture of a group of clergy pastors that I gather with. We've been gathering for about 20 years now. We gather every year. Unfortunately, we are supposed to gather starting on Monday here in Northern California, and we had to cancel the first time we've canceled in 20 something years now. And this, I think, was just a few years ago. We were wine tasting up in Napa. Yeah, it's rough, I know. But and the other thing is, this used to be called the Young Urban Pastors, group, and now we're just pastors group. In any case, this is a group that have been through struggle and conflict and all these things, and there is something that is amazing when a community can go through struggle, go through times where we just anger each other, we do something that just kind of gets at you, needles either minimal or big, whatever it may be. And you find that place where you realize that you can actually be in a space and we can kind of give those things up to God, that we can feel forgiveness, not just for myself, but for all of us. And then this collective kind of, I think, spirit-filled space that we get to occupy every once in a while that reminds us that we are greater than all of the pain in the world, that when we gather together, truly open to where God may be leading us, then we experience some pretty amazing things. This is a group of friends and colleagues who hold me accountable. We touch base now even more so, I think, individually and personally about struggles that are going on in ministry or about questions that we're having. And because we've allowed ourselves to be both in drama and conflict, but knowing that we move into reconciliation and truly kind of this community, we're able to kind of create space where we just discover new things about ourselves and about one another and about the world and about ministry that this group helps us do. And so while it's difficult to kind of say to all of us, you're forgiven, it's fine, whatever, or try to really claim this collective forgiveness, on the other side, if we're able to do that, the things we experience are beyond our imagination. I mean, they're beyond an intellectual new life. We actually do experience this kind of new beginning of hope, that we can experience things that even out of the greatest of our despair, that there are good things that can come if we're able to go through and be part of a community that struggles together, but knows that we're joined together by the body. The other piece I want to lift up from this passage comes in the second one. Now, Doubting Thomas gets a rap, right? Because I think there are pastors, churches who would, you just need to believe, like, you know, just believe. Like, and I've never been one of those. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll just believe, because that feels irresponsible to the intellect and the discernment and communal understanding that God has gifted us with, that it's not just as simple as just believe. It is about this idea that our belief is strengthened by the journey we take to get there. So I actually think Thomas is a great gift to us, this gift of doubt, that the questions, the struggle, the discernment, the rejection even sometimes of our faith and where we are and all of that. I know that we've all experienced that. We are experiencing it. And none of us, if we claim to say we 100% know this to be true, we know that those are very far and in between kind of spaces. In fact, I think what Thomas does for us is allows us a couple things. One is, I think that there is a gift in doubt, that if we're not helping to answer questions for ourselves about our faith, if we're not together trying to figure out what we believe together, coming to this space where I'm struggling with this, I don't really know about this, I think that is the gift that community brings. I think specifically as we have been going through this coronavirus, COVID-19 time, you know, there's so much doubt. Right? And there's so much anxiety and fear. And I don't think those are bad things. Those seem to be very natural places to be. That if you're not feeling anxious, if you're not feeling fearful, if there aren't places where you have no idea what's going to happen and there's doubt, then we're not, I think, human. If we just want to go and pretend that it's all going to be fine, as we know, there are some gospels preached out there that if you just believe in Jesus, you're going to be okay. We know that is not part of our understanding of the intellect and discernment that God has given us. I think it's okay to be doubting during this time, that there are certainly things about this that I struggled with at the beginning. Was I going to be okay? Are my family, my elderly relatives who are in retirement homes, and then pastoring a community of folks who, while spry and energetic, are older, and knowing that many of you live in these spaces where we know you're higher risk. And then those kind of in that middle range where we kind of still feel a little invincible, that like 50 and up, where we can still do everything, but finding out that no, we too need to be careful. I mean, all of those things have weighed heavily. Were we going to make it, not just physically and our own health, but as a community of faith? I mean, if you didn't doubt at some point, when we began to say, we're just going to meet online, I know folks were like, okay, we don't just meet online. I know that there was doubt about whether these kind of gatherings were going to feed people. And I certainly know that it has not fed everyone. Like this, every service, per person, online, every gathering, people gravitate towards and are fed by. And then there's certain folks that it doesn't, they're not fed by. Our in-person services didn't feed everybody. But then this service won't feed everyone. But yet, I know we all doubted it. I don't think there was anybody in this space that said, oh, it's going to be totally fine. We're just not going to all go on Zoom. It'll be okay. Now, some of us had to maybe pretend a little bit more that we're going to be okay. And I generally, and I'm an optimistic person and believe greatly in you. But there's a gift in that because it makes us think. It makes us think about the ways that we can combat some of that doubt in tangible ways. So for Thomas, you know, when people, I think, get down on him, like, well, he needed to touch and feel and like actually see what's going on. I actually am like, yeah, actually there's something about knowing doubt and figuring out what you can do to alleviate some of it so you can feel like you're moving forward. So that you can, you know, so when we started this, right? So we can set people up, connect people so that we don't just say, we're meeting online, here's the link, go. That we are actually working with folks and trying to get people together so you can figure this out. And in the same way, we continue to learn. Like, I continue to doubt, how are we going to do this for another month? How are we going to do this for this long? But yet, we figure out a way to have tangible, strategic, tactical things that allow us to experience something on the other side of that doubt. And I think that is the thing that's really important for us, is that we must be willing to move from that doubt in order to discover things that are new. If any of you remember Highlights magazine, it was often in your doctor's office. Right? It was one of my favorite magazines ever. And I would, even probably today, if I saw them, I'd flip to the back and do the Find the Difference one. And there's that kind of like searching for those pieces. Because I think what the gift that we have, and I think some of the excitement of the journey, is that it's not always easy to see where we're headed. It's not always easy to see where those points of hope are going to be. It's not always this, you know, in our scripture readings, we always have Jesus says something and then everybody goes, oh yeah, great. I mean, I think there's some literary creativity in that, because most of us have to like see a few things and then, or to look or to focus, and then we experience what they may be. But the message of that is there are moments and things that we see, and then we know. And we have to be willing to step into the other side, that even though we doubted, even though like we're not going to be so stubborn and just unwilling to change, that we can't see, oh, wait a minute, that worry and that anxiety, while justified, we've reached another side. Like we've seen some hope out of it. It's kind of like these pictures, right? I know some of you are staring at it now, trying to figure out what all the differences are. I'm going to move it on. You're not going to find them all. But, you know, it's kind of looking at this and going, oh, there's one. Okay, there's another one, right? There's a discipline to seeing hope in the world. It doesn't always just happen to us like it does in scripture. But we have to be willing to at least see that, oh, here's something that out of my anxiety or doubt or inability to see, now I see something. And then what happens is then our hope is realized, you know, the things from our past, it inspires us to be courageous in the future. So I think about this, like coming back to this service, I'm always just in awe that we've been able to do this. But I think what this tells us is that there are so many things that this community can do in the world. Like we did this for ourselves in some ways, right? We, in some ways, felt like we still got to meet. We still need to be connected. We still need to share the bread and the cup. And so we were able to do that despite all of the reasons that probably we wouldn't have been able to do it in another setting. So we are able to do it. And so now what that should do is it gives us courage to believe about the future. So that we now can look even to other things beyond and outside of COVID-19. What are the things that now bring us worry, that we might doubt, that possibly we've seen some things happen before, and so now we can envision what we may be? And this is not just about online worship. This is about how we impact the community, how this church continues to be a community of justice and love and compassion. How do we love each other more deeply? How do we connect with each other more deeply? How do we feed our curiosity for intellect and faith more deeply? How do we inspire and in our part of justice movements more deeply? How do we, now that we know that we could do this kind of amazing thing, even though we doubted, what does that open us up for the future? Again, there are no silver linings to this time. There are too many people suffering and dying and will continue to do so, but we can find glimpses of hope and joy and new life in the midst of even the most painful of times. And what we do is we grab onto those, we hold on to those so that we may see those things in the future and not pass them by. Because now we're in this, and we'll be in this for a while, and we can decide, are we going to be stagnant and just be satisfied kind of with us gathering and our Zoom conversations and some of the things that we've been really good at setting up? Or are we going to think about, what is God calling us to do even now that may be unbelievable? Because we are a people who believe in the unknowing and the unseeing because we've seen it before and because we trust in the love and compassion and promises of God. So in your own life, in the life of this church and in the world, there are things that are going to bring about doubt and going to cause us anxiety or fear. But we've seen that even out of the greatest of those things, new life and hope and new beginnings can emerge. Those will happen again if we're just willing and open to see it. Let us pray. Holy and amazing God, for the Spirit that continues to be with us, continues to join us, continues to inspire us, we give you thanks. We ask, oh God, that you would continue to challenge us to be people of faith, no matter where we may be located, no matter what city, country, no matter where we may be living, no matter who may be with us, that you may continue to challenge us to be your people so that we may be your people of love and compassion and justice in the world. Your Spirit is not confined by the same things that we are, and so let us be part of the movement of love and compassion that is above all and over all and through all. We thank you for this body who continues to gather, continues to meet, continues to be community this and every day. We pray all this in the name of Christ, and all God's people say, amen. All right, Andy is going to lead us in another song, another hymn. And again, you all are muted and you can sing to your heart's content. I'm going to unmute you, Andy, and you will lead us in another song.
Great. Please join in singing We Shall Overcome, which takes on a whole new meaning during this time. I'll play a line of introduction and we'll sing together.